906 1320 KLWN. It is now time for the Lord's Business Magazine show on 1320 KLWN. Here's your host, Ann Frame Herzog.
Thank you, John. Each week we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. Today, we're pleased to have Shannon Seeley from the Kaw Valley Farm Tours, along with three farmers, Michelle Meyer of Holyfield Vineyard and Winery, Amy Saunders of Amy's Meats, and Marianne Curtis of Fieldstone Orchards and Farm. Thank you all for joining us today. We've got a big group in here.
Thank you.
But first, before we start, I do have to say, last week we had Eileen Holly on here from the Valor Awards, and we were talking about one of our the people that were awarded with the Valor Awards last year, and we talked all about the sheriff who did this great service. He his name was Detective Jay Armbruster. We never mentioned his name. He helped a victim in a rollover accident. And I just wanted to say thank you to Jay, and I'm sorry we didn't say your name last week. This week, we are going to talk about the farm tour, which you guys have probably already heard about a lot from Hank and his show. He was talking with the Merck. But let's start with Shannon here. Let's talk about the tour itself, and how did this get started?
Well, good morning, Ann.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us. So it was started before I got involved, back in 2005. Mm-hmm. Some members of the group had attended Piedmont Farm Tour in North and South Carolina and saw just how enjoyable it was for people to see how their local food was grown.
Mm-hmm.
So started it here and based it here in Lawrence. And so that was back when we had about 15 farms. And it, excuse me.
That's okay.
And it's grown quite a bit.
Now, Shan, okay, so that's, how did you get involved with this farm tour? What's your background?
So I actually learned that there was an opening to for this position to coordinate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I applied and accepted the job. And I actually work at the K-State Research and Extension, the Douglas County office here in Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
So, but who's on the committee is actually business people, farmers, ones that are interested in locally grown food. It's a variety of people actually involved. And all the farmers on the tour are also in the committee. So it's all a group effort.
It's a big committee.
It's a big committee.
So how many farmers do you have, farms do you have involved this year?
So this year we have 22.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we had 24. You know, when I say that, too, it's actually 22 farm stops, tour stops. But quite a few of the farms will have farmers that have a booth at their farms, you know, selling their products or talking about how they grow honey, you know, that sort of thing. So it's actually, it's one of those things we haven't actually written down how many farms. It's at least minimum 22 this year.
Okay. Very cool. Now, when this started, so this came about, people said that somebody had been on a farm tour and said, we have to do this. So they just started, a bunch of our local farmers got together. We have three farmers here. Now, Michelle from Holyfield Winery, she's been on this the longest. How did you get involved?
I got involved about 5 years ago, and some of the original farm tour stops, I believe it was Karen Pendleton, came and asked me if I would like to be on the farm tour, that she thought it would be a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, Davenport Winery was already on the farm tour, and then they invited us to be along on the tour as well. And we kind of serve, as far as our location is, we're in Basser, Kansas, so we're sort of the eastern gateway into the farm tour.
Okay.
And then since we've come onto the farm tour, there are a couple of farms both just to the north of us and to the south of us that are also now included on the farm tour as well.
Well, that's nice. So how big an area does this cover? How big? So it started in Douglas County, but it's kind of spread out.
Correct.
That, right?
It goes into southeast Leavenworth County.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And also into the western part of Johnson County.
Okay.
It includes Landeria Farms, which is probably the easternmost farm on the tour to the south.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a rather large radius.
Mm-hmm.
But
go over to the west, too.
Yes, very approachable. It goes all the way across to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a large tour, but very workable tour.
That's good, yes. Now, do you have maps to plan this out? How do people find out who's on the tour?
Sure, a very good question. We have several ways you can find out. You could purchase your ticket, which we have several places where you can buy the ticket, or you can go online to our website, www.cavalleyfarmtour.org. We have a Google map that you can see all the locations. Mm-hmm. We also have a map that is similar to the one in the ticket, and you can see all the farms and descriptions of the farms, their mm-hmm. websites, their Facebook pages, you know, quite a bit of information. We do encourage people to kind of do a little bit of planning mm-hmm. so that they get an idea of what they would like to see. We also encourage people to maybe plan 4 stops a day if they're doing this Saturday and Sunday. It's October 6th and 7th this year. It's always the first full weekend in October.
Okay.
From 10 a.m. to 6 o'clock. In the evening, and you think you have a lot of time, but actually, if you kind of plan it, you could possibly see 4 to 5 farms in a day if you chose to.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Now, what? So they saw the farmers that saw this. They said this was fun. This tour when they saw people. And now we have it in Lawrence. But what is the just going out and having fun at farms? What does that bring? I mean, anybody can answer this. We've got a lot of people here. So, what does that do? Having people come out to your farm, Amy. Amy from Amy's Meats.
What it brings, hopefully, is a better understanding for people to know exactly who are the local producers, and they mm-hmm. can put a face with foods that they've seen either in stores or at the farmer's market or at restaurants, because there's a lot of other merchants that support locally. But it also brings the opportunity for better connections. A lot of the farms have CSAs, have farm markets, and so we're hoping that it also brings a little bit of money back to the farm. The farms individually don't see any of the proceeds from the tickets because it all goes towards the promotion and the continuation of the farm tour, which is important. And so it hopefully just the connection for people to put faces and be able to ask questions and see the country and see what we've got going on in our local communities.
Now, we're going to get back because I want to talk to you, each of you, about your own individual businesses, too. And I want to talk to you more about CSA, so don't forget. So when this people come out, do you find that it's mostly families, people trying to have their kids see this, or is it adults? I mean, who comes on? Who is all involved on the tour? How does who are your main people that come to the tours?
Well, for us, we're a vineyard and a winery, so of course we're attracting mostly adults.
Older adults, right.
But, you know, it's also fun for children. We offer grape juice for the kids, and they can walk out into the vineyard and things. So we do see a lot of families even at the winery
well.
Yeah, it is. It's really nice because, you know, all children understand jelly and grapes and things like that. And if they can see it being grown, then they can make that connection. So you know, you get a broad demographic of people that participate.
So the farm tour, so it's $10 a ticket. Is that what, correct?
That's correct.
So,
mm-hmm.
And that was for Cardinal. Now, when the tickets come out, so you get a ticket, and how does this work? They buy a ticket. What happens?
Sure. And I think that's the one thing, if we can overcome the how do you do this barrier, because it is mm-hmm. for someone to walk on a farm, you know, not knowing the farmer and getting ready for the tour. So you have a ticket and you open it up to the map and you read the descriptions and you get an idea of who you'd like to see. You gather up your friends. The ticket is good for both days. It's good for a carload. So, you know, you and 4 other friends in your car, then you go to each farm. When you're there, someone will greet you and introduce you to what is planned. If there's a certain activity, you know, pressing cider or making cider, all the various activities that are there. And then you actually can, when you park, you'll meet the farmer and all their volunteers and ask questions and pretty much walk, either do a hay rack ride or a guided tour. And it's pretty much, that's pretty much it. It's so, it's so simple. It can really
be hard. Now, I've grew up in Western Kansas, and we have a lot of farmers out there. But you can always find their farms. How do you, so this map tells you, I mean, Google Maps, there's a lot of ways to get maps, but do people have signs up by their houses? I mean, how do we know when we're at the right farm?
It's an excellent question. So, you know, as you mentioned, how have we changed? How have we grown? Well, our map is much better this year in the ticket. And then we do have road signs, Kaw Valley Farm Tour road signs.
Okay, good.
And I know there's several detours in some of the places, but the farms have been working really hard to make appropriate signage at the appropriate places to help guide you through some of the detours.
Okay.
And it is frustrating for the farmers to try and work around that, but there's several projects that, you know, they'll get done and it'll be great. But so just the signs match the logos that are on the Kaw Valley Farm Tour, and so they're white, they're very visible, and hopefully easy to find and read.
Yeah, you know, when your guys, when people come out here, does everybody, each farmer, do their own tour, or is there a few things that everybody does so that there's a, so people kind of understand what goes on when you come to the farm? Why don't you answer that?
Well, probably I would guess the thing that's the same as everybody is somebody's going to do some kind of tour, somebody's going to do some kind of kids game thing, and hopefully there's things for folks to purchase. So, as you say, it's a business magazine, so you know we are in a business, and we're some of us can be sustainable, and some of us are still trying to be sustainable. But ultimately, it's, you know, I like the old joke that said the farmer won the lotto and he won like $20 million. And they're like, wow, you know, Farmer John, you've been farming for 20 years now. You know, what are you going to do now? You got $20 million. He's like, well, I think I'll just keep farming until I run out of money. So, yeah, that's a big joke. You know, we're paying to, like, put people food on people's table, you know. So hopefully, you know, it is going to be a good revenue and extra revenue for people. And I think, like, what Amy was saying, too, you know, when you put a face with the product, with the food, it's really important. I also find that, you know, out in where you pick orchard, so Fieldstone Orchard and Farm, where you pick, and we're open all the time. And I think I find that, you know, people might bring their kids because, oh, I want to show my kids this ability to pick apples. But there's a lot of adults that come that have never picked an apple off a tree.
Wow.
And they're just amazed how wonderful it is. And then, like, we're getting a lot of college kids because, you know, they're starting to go, wow, there's, like, local farms around here, you know. And we're really blessed in this area to have a lot of organic and family-owned farms, which is, you know, a dying breed out there. And and so I think that's so important. And the college kids are coming out, and they come out, and they have so much fun. You know, it's fresh air. They're actually touching the fruit on the tree, seeing where it comes from. And then, you know, they're bringing all their buddies and saying, hey, we got to get out here. And then we press fresh cider also. And
okay.
So there's all kinds of ways in which people are doing their hard ciders now and all that fun stuff. So they
That's
get
great.
To come out and have a nice eclectic mix of antique varieties of ciders and that too. So,
well, all of you guys here, I mean, have kind of things that you can sell. You know, you have like Amy's Meats. She has her meats that she sells. And you have you have apples, and what other things, what other fruit do you grow out there?
Yeah, we have 38 varieties of apples.
38, wow, that's
we
awesome.
Have a lot. Yeah, there's like antique varieties. Like I brought you some here, a little pack so you could see. There's like these ugly little russeted apples are actually really yummy little tart apples with a lot of complexity. So like the old apples that are called the antique apples have more complexity. Mm-hmm. And then you have new ones like a Macoun or a Macoun, which is awesome. It's just like light and crispy and tart in a balanced way. And
she's very happy about
Asian
apples,
isn't
she?
Well, that's know, great.
We love what we're doing, right? I mean, you
one
know.
A day.
That's right.
Just
like
the doctor away. That's right. A glass a day.
A glass a day. An apple a day. Steak a day.
And meat. It's what's for dinner.
This, so, but well, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to come back in a few minutes talking a little bit more about the Kaw Valley Farm Tour.
924, 1320 KLWN. Let's return to the Lord's Business Magazine show. And once again, your host is Ann Frame Herzog.
Thank you. I'm here with Shannon Seeley from the Kaw Valley Farm Tour and three of our local farmers, Michelle Meyer from Holyfield Vineyard and Winery. I have a hard time with that word today. Usually later in the day I'm saying winery a lot better. Amy Saunders from Amy's Meats and Marianne Curtis from Fieldstone Orchard and Farm. And we were talking a little bit about the different things you can expect when you go out there. And we're talking about apples, all the different varieties of apples. But each of these farms has different things. And as Shannon was saying in the break, they're also much wider variety than you expect. Farms, you know, usually don't have just one thing. They have several different things. So, and she said, Amy, we have Amy's Meats, but she's expanded her title here. To her, she's got a new brand out, and because you've expanded the things that you do, what if somebody came out to Amy's, to your farm, what would they expect to see?
Well, it'll be 2 years in November. We actually were able to purchase an actual property, which before we'd always rented, and so it allowed us to diversify what we have available to us, and we focused on an heirloom garden. And we practice seed saving, and we're growing broom corn to make brooms now. And we do hand lotions and soaps, and we have a small dairy. And so we've got milk cows that people can come out and see how we milk and where the milk actually comes from, along with, you know, our normal beef, pork, and chicken that we've had in the past. And so we were talking a young orchard that someday maybe we hope might have enough to make some applesauce for the kids. But we've diversified what we've done, and our brand now is Amy's Meats at the Homestead because we've focused on self-reliance, and you know, we cook all of our own food that we grow, and so our focus is on the family and our CSA and.
And when you say CSA, what does that mean?
CSA is Community Supported Agriculture. It's essentially where people are able to subscribe to a farm and help with the upfront costs of production. And then in return, they receive weekly or monthly, whatever happens to work for whoever's subscribing, bundles of what we are able to produce off the farm. This year, you know, the drought was pretty hard on us, but we were able to meet and fulfill all of our CSAs. And, you know, because we have an array of products that we produce, we have a little bit of leeway to let people choose, do they want fruits and vegetables, or do they want meat, or do they want a combination? And so then that helps us know that we've actually got income, a steady income. And it gives us the opportunity to better acquaint with the consumers and hopefully get them to where they actually feel that they're a part of our farm. It's part of their farm. They want to, you know, help, and we require that they come out and work volunteer hours so that they actually get a, you know, a chance to get their hands dirty and feel like they're a part of it. So,
well, the CSA, well, I think that's interesting because when you're talking about, you know, these all being family farms, but you have to have more than just your family to run them. Mm-hmm. So how do you all of you work with kind of your staff? I mean, when you're picking, you have a U-Pick orchard, Michelle, but you guys aren't picking all the stuff. You have people come out, but do you also hire people, or how do you guys work the business plan? Like we were saying with the CSA is great because it actually helps you kind of, you know, you can actually have at least a budget to plan for the year. So what is the business of your farm, though? How do you plan ahead? So let's start with Michelle.
I was just going to comment on, you know, farms are not like they were when, you know, my dad grew up on one. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are an agritourism enterprise as well. And that's sort of what the farm tour is all about, is getting people to the farm. And, you know, instead of just driving by, lots of times there's a sign that says Fieldstone or Amy's Meats. Mm-hmm. And people think, I wonder what that's about. Well, this gets the person in there, and then they get to meet Amy, and they get to meet Marianne, and they get to go out on the property and see where all the blood, sweat, and tears are and find it enjoyable. And the U-Pick and the volunteering for the CSA, almost every farm that is a farm that invites the public to their place does some sort of volunteer engagement with their guests on a year-round basis. And I know at Holyfield, I've done that since 1994. All of our grapes, we have 16 acres of wine grapes. I'm not set up for mechanized harvesting of my grapes. And we invite the public to pick grapes with us. And I just finished my harvest season last weekend. But, I mean, I see over 700 people on Sunday mornings. And not every Sunday, but, you know, 100 to 150. And, you know, the Methodist Church is kind of jealous because they're across the street. And I have more cars than them. But I think the engagement mm-hmm. with the people mm-hmm. really, you know, people like to be part of something successful. And if you can get people to come to your place and have a good time and go, wow, I helped plant. I mean, even when we've planted parts of the vineyard, we mm-hmm. invited the public. But people take a real ownership in that, and that only benefits the business in the long run. And they might be your customer for 1 year, 5 year, or 10 years before maybe life circumstances move them or whatever. But they tell other people about it. And, you know, all of those things are beneficial. The more people you have talking about your farm or any business, you know, the better it is for you. And that's what the farm tour gives to the farms mm-hmm. is, you know, it really lets people say, I know I talk to a lot of people, you know, oh, I didn't know about this CSA or that CSA until you directed us there on the farm tour. And so it's a win-win for all the farmers to work together, I think. And I don't know if that answered your question.
No, it definitely is. It's, well, a big part of it. But I think it is. It's engaging the public, engaging people so that and they understand where their food comes, which I think helps with the whole local food movement and why it's so important, I think, to our local businesses to support our local farmers so that we don't become just so industrialized, that we really support our the local agriculture. And I think that's one thing I love about this community is we do. I think people do see the value in that. But when you're out there, though, you say you have all these volunteers, but you run a whole biz, you know, you have your agriculture, but you also have, which is the business itself, but then you also have your whole storefront you're running.
Sure.
I mean, you have,
well,
you have a lot of
people. Well, the
inside to
that is when you have that volume of people at mm-hmm. your place, because they feel an ownership in your business, they're proud to patronize your business mm-hmm. as well. And they'll come back and say, that's my wine. I picked that grape. Mm-hmm. I was here when we planted that, or I was here when we picked that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they get to see the processing of it and things like that as well. So when you have some kind of interaction like that where somebody actually feels an ownership, even though they're just a guest or a volunteer, they're very, very important.
They feel vested in it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge win for everybody. Mm-hmm. And just like if they're picking apples at Fieldstone, they're going to be like, oh, you know, or maybe they have their favorite apple. That's my tree. I mean, you will hear people say, that's mine, you know.
Yeah.
And they're very proud to be mm-hmm. involved with that. And I think that the more people you can give that opportunity to, and they have the opportunity to do that on the farm tour, the better off all farms are, not mm-hmm. just the farms on the farm tour even. I mean, all farms benefit from the fact that people are interested in the local. And the local movement's not ever going away. People have, you know, at first it was just a catchphrase for a mm-hmm. lot of people. But people really are living that local lifestyle and really trying to embrace it. And part of embracing it is patronizing your local farmer. Mm-hmm. In whatever way you can.
I think, too, the local farmers are starting to patronize each other, too, because it's so important for us to realize that local is important for all of us. And so, like, one of the things we're doing is bringing out live music to the farm for the farm tour. And so we want to patronize our local musicians mm-hmm. and, you know, say, hey, these are some awesome musicians. They're accomplished musicians. They're classical musicians doing bluegrass, doing country rock. You know, they can be hired out for other, you know, opportunities. And mm-hmm. also they're doing a lot of local folk music. Mm-hmm. You know, the Americana Music Academy is sending out a couple of teams, the Wheat Benders and Pickett, Paul and Jean mm-hmm. and Sky Smead will be there and Lance Fahey, which people probably have seen a lot at the farmers markets and things like that. Just great performers writing their own music, writing their own mm-hmm. tunes. And so, you know, there's that in terms of us supporting other people in the community. And then, you know, I buy Amy's meats, and if I drank wine still, I'd be buying all the wine. Maybe I'll go get the grape juice now that I know she's got grape juice.
It is, what I find is, and I think it's great with people patronizing and people understanding that how important it is to buy from our local mm-hmm. farmers to make sure that they have established business so that they can then buy in the community, kind of that circular activity. But the agricultural business is such a different business than I think that than most people think of as when they're, you know, they're going to the store, because those most stores and stuff like that, you think you have much more steady customers. You have a steady, you know, your product comes in, it goes out. Here you're actually at those much more to the whim of nature. You've got, you know, you've got pests. You've got, you know, you're dealing with a lot of, you know, the drought. So you're dealing with a lot of factors that most businesses don't have to deal with. So how do you, and so, and you have, well, you have years that are, you have really good crops, and you have years that your crops aren't able to fill maybe the orders that you want. So how do you plan from year to year? How do you try to level that up? Is there any, what kind of long-term plan can you do in farming?
Ooh. Oh, we spend lots of time just out in the fields by ourselves thinking, and then we motivate ourselves that next year will be better, or it's going to be just as good next year because I'm going to do XYZ, mm-hmm. or I learned XYZ from this year, or I'm going to plant this way, or I'm going to feed this way. I've met this person, so I've made this connection, and I can do this. Just as in a mortar and brick building business, you're constantly absorbing information. You're constantly meeting people. You're constantly learning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just in a different place, a different location. You know, my employees are my three kids and my husband. Mm-hmm. And so we rely on the volunteers. And so by doing that, the volunteers bring different experiences and knowledge of different areas that, you know, or they might see something differently. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's lots of the planning is the downtime, whether it be the winter or the fall or, you know, whatever the downtime is. But farmers are usually the eternal optimists. Mm-hmm. Lots of time by yourself.
Lovely piece. I think also for, you know, small farms, it's another challenge because in commercial farming, there's a lot of subsidy that happens and a lot of insurance that can kick in if you lose a crop.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in small farming, you don't have that. And so, you know, you get closer to the land and you learn how to, like, work with the land too, because I think nature is resilient. Nature will show you what to do and how to do it if you really watch. And so then it's a matter of working with that. Like, we've been thinking about the drought big time because supposedly we're supposed to have another 3-5 years of this.
Yes.
And, you know, even our old growth trees were having a hard time. And so we're like, okay, we might have to do some root feeding here. And you know.
So you have to change your approach. Well, we'll be back here with the Kaw Valley Farm Tour in just a few minutes.
Right here on the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN. 941 at the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN. Let's continue with the Lawrence Business Magazine show once again, and Frame Herzog.
Thank you. I just want to let our listeners know that the Lawrence Business Magazine is published quarterly and available at our local Hy-Vees, the Merck, and other convenient merchants around town. And now what we want you to do is you have to watch out for our next issue. It's featuring the Women of Impact, stories of 8 dynamic women who have left their mark on the Lawrence community through their contributions in civic leadership, green energy, sports performance, education, hospitality management, creative marketing, philanthropy, and university government. I'm not going to tell you the names of these women, but if you just watch out, the next issue is coming out soon, and you'll see who these women are. There's a lot of very impactful women, and I actually have 4 amazing women in my right here. We have Shannon Seeley from the Kaw Valley Farm Tours, Amy Saunders from Amy's Meats at the Homestead, Michelle Meyer from Holyfield Winery and Vineyard, and Marianne Curtis from Fieldstone Orchards and Farm. And what I think is interesting here is we talked about the farm tour, and I have 3 women farmers in here, which is different. Where I grew up, when we said farmers, we usually meant older men in overalls, and usually wore a hat and drove a combine. So usually was a John Deere hat. So obviously the face of farming is changing a little bit too. So what is it like too? I mean, when you as being a woman in farming, do you find that do you guys take a different approach to farming than you think your male counterparts do?
Well,
yes.
I might be.
Good. That's interesting. No.
We have a main guy who's kind of like our chief engineer. He's been on the property for a long time, and we just took over the orchard last July. And so I've been doing organic and beyond organic, and I'm trained in Chinese medicine, and used to getting to the source of the disharmony with a person. So I'm looking at the soil and the trees and going, okay, we can get to the source of the disharmony. And it's not so far different from looking at a human being and in terms of, you know, bringing good nutrients into the soil. Now, that's something that I think there's some men out there that are doing that. But I think it's more the women that I hear that are going that direction and that are looking at, like, let's really restore this land. Let's really harmonize with the bugs and the animals and everything that's going on in here so that we can create an environment. I mean, when you look at Cuba and we cut off everything to Cuba, what did they do? They went to organic farming because it was prudent and it was a good business idea and it saved the land. So, you know, it's really more prudent to look that way. And women usually think more collectively. They've even done research now that shows that when you give a woman a problem, her whole brain lights up to think of how is that going to affect the collective as well as the individual. It's true. And then they did research with men, and if they're given a problem, they go immediate to solution. But they don't really think of the whole collective. So, yeah.
In my partnership with my husband, I'm really fortunate. You know, we work together really well, but we both, like you say, we tackle different issues differently. And when I took over the primary care of everything, I started adding lots of other things to the table, and thus we became the homestead.
More work,
but then, you know, I look at it more as a peace. You know, it's peace and tranquility for me, and my husband's just like, oh my gosh. This is just a lot. And, you know, the dairy cows are my thing. He, you know, when I ask him, I said, well, when you talk about, you know, what all we do, how do you explain it? Well, they're your cows. that's your area.
I'm like, okay. I have to say, my husband works with me, but he's very balanced in his masculine and feminine. So he actually works a lot like a woman would as well as a man would. So it's kind of interesting combo with that.
And you work with your husbands and I work with my dad.
So,
everybody has their own male influence in their life. And, you know, my dad grew up on a farm with traditional crops, but he always has had farming in his blood, even though he left his original farm community. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be in it at all. I think for us, there's a lot of female influence from me on the winemaking aspect of things, which I think is pretty interesting when we work together in the cellar because we make the wine together as well as work in the vineyard. Men and women, just like anything, when you hear them talk about wine, they talk about it differently as well. Sometimes I think, you know, people say, well, why do you do it like this? Mm-hmm. And just as an example, we don't use oak barrels on our white wines. So there's mm-hmm. no oak influence there. And that's me. because I get to decide that. And mm-hmm. that's the female influence of, mm-hmm. and it's a personal thing too as
right.
well. It's not wrong to use oak on white, but I just prefer not to, so mm-hmm. we don't. But so I think there's a lot of different things, and then on the business side of things, it seems that women always act as the hostesses and things like that. But when you say I noticed that too, that, you know, three female farmers, but the farming, you know, sometimes I think when maybe farmers of a different generation visit your property, mm-hmm. lots of times they will respond to you like you're the little woman.
Uh-huh.
And,
yes.
Which I know, I'm not offended by that at all. But, you know, I had somebody ask me the other day, who takes care of the vineyard? And I'm like, well, me. I'm my dad. And then he's like, really? How do you know how to do that? Well, I've been doing it for a while. So. But, you know, I think sometimes, depending on the generation, sometimes mm-hmm. they think that they're surprised to see maybe a woman in the roles, you know, with the dairy cows and cattle and orchards and such.
And changing the perspectives a little bit of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to say, and I'd like to kind of interject here, Shannon, again, the coordinator. So, although I applied for this when I learned there was an opening for a coordinator, I just fell in love with it when I'm actually working with decision makers, business owners, families, that mm-hmm. whole combination. What they do matters. It's supporting their families, or it's And or, I mean, some of them do have off-the-farm occupations to support their true love of farming.
Right.
But they're also, what they're doing is going to sustain all of us, you know, down the road. It just, you know, we can't live without farming. We're all involved in it if we eat, even if we don't realize it. So it's one of the things I really enjoy. And whether it's the women or men or both, you know, you just get a sense of the optimism that they share with us today, but also so creative. I mean, you walk away going, oh, good, we're in good hands. We're going to have food. No matter what's going to go on, we're going to have locally grown products. So I get excited about the opportunity of the farm tour because it is a way for others to meet the farmers. And you can't walk, you cannot but walk away going, oh, this is so neat to meet them, to actually meet the people.
And see what they're doing. And one of the things that's interesting about the farm tour is you have a, the ticket is actually not actually a ticket. It's a booklet here that has lists all the different farms. It's got a huge map in the middle. It's kind of like, it's like how many, like 8-page brochure here. Or something. It's got all these different places you can go with a little bit of information about each one, where it is. There's a big map in the middle that shows you where you can go.
Yeah, and if...
And all the addresses and then different kind of special events, too.
Trying to convey that it is so easy and simple to go on the farm tour. And with a ticket, it really is the ticket to doing it easily. So
you can get this at the Kaw Valley Farm Tour. But now, I know that you can buy these at the Merck, because I heard Nancy on here earlier today. Where else can you buy the tickets?
Sure. We're also available at the K-State Research and Extension, the extension office there in Lawrence on the fairgrounds,
the Douglas County Fairgrounds.
And we're also at Cotton's Hardware and Rental because they have a farmer's market weekly, so they're selling in their store. We also have it at the Lawrence Visitor Center.
Okay.
They sell the tickets as well. And the farmer's market, the downtown Lawrence farmer's market, also has tickets.
So they have tickets on this. Because that's this Saturday. You buy a ticket because then the tour actually is next Saturday, right?
Saturday and Sunday. October 6th and 7th.
And all the farms that are open to the public, like us and Pendleton's and Holyfield, I would guess, we all have tickets that people can buy in advance also.
Okay. Yeah, because you said some of these farms, like you at the Orchard and at Holyfield, you guys are open all the time of the year. Already open, have a kind of a retail space already. Yes. But there's other farms here on the tour that don't have that, so that you have to get that.
But on the day of the tour, if you wake up and go, oh, I didn't get my farm tour ticket, you can go to the farm of your choice on the farm tour and buy a ticket.
And they'll
that
allow
day
you
as well.
To get a ticket then.
Yes.
Awesome. So if you don't know where, on Saturday morning you wake up and you say, oh, I wanted to get a ticket. You go to kawvalleyfarmtour.org, and you can find out where your closest farm is that you can go to and get a ticket, get the tour, get this thing with your 22 or 24. You've got so many different places here, all the different farms, from very traditional to some of your more non-traditional farms, and some of the special events that they're having at the different places, which is great.
And one aspect that has changed for the farm tour is we're tapping more and more into social media. So we are on Facebook as well as all of our farms. I think the exception of one.
So they should like you on Facebook, which we actually did when we posted this. We posted on the Kaw Valley Farm Tour that you guys
like
were going to be on here today.
Every farm.
Yes, you'd like it.
We also have a Twitter account, and so we're doing all we can. Of course, we...
So you get a lot of farmers to tweet, do you?
We have smartphones, and we're tweeting in the fields.
Oh,
okay.
I'm inspired.
I could go through a whole list, but I think it also does really depend on what someone is interested in seeing. We do have a goat dairy. We also have a dairy cow, dairy farm on the tour. It really can depend.
Alpacas.
We have alpacas. It really depends what somebody is looking for or something new. Maybe they've been to a few of these places in the past on the farm tour, and maybe they want to go to the new farms that are on the tour. So
one thing is to make sure you make sure is, and we actually Matt from the brewery stopped in here to say how easy actually a lot of these places, it's you can find these places. Baser, where Holyfield is not that hard to find. It's on Highway 24, and you get a map. You can actually find it, all the farms. Amy, you guys are actually up closer when you're heading out of town here. You're pretty easy to find, too. You guys are a lot closer than you used to be.
We used
to be much further out of town. I remember you guys being way out there. But now you're very close, but easy to find. And as they said, it's even though you're going through fields, right, it's actually pretty close to get there. It doesn't take very long to get your bus.
Yeah, it takes the same amount of time to drive from one end of Lawrence to the other. It's actually shorter time-wise if you hit the lights than it is to get to my place. So, you know, it's a distance thing just in your mind. All of these farms are actually really very easy to get to. It's just a concept of longer stretches of road rather than shorter blocks.
But I think that if you're going to do the farm tour, you should embrace the fact that you're actually out in the country driving around and see some of these beautiful fields.
And you can be out in the country in 30 minutes. That's not bad at all.
And having lived in Los Angeles for 20 years, I really do appreciate that. when you get out there, too, I mean, the fields, everything's starting to turn. It's really beautiful out there, and hopefully we'll have another beautiful weekend coming up here.
We are open rain or shine.
Rain or shine.
Just so you know.
To the farm, you still have to work on a farm even if it's raining. I'm going to go around. I want everybody to tell me, Amy, if somebody comes out, what are they going to see at your farm?
We're going to have milking demonstrations with my Jersey cows. We've got a log cabin that my husband built that the kids can play on. We'll have a few kids' activities, and we'll have... My kids have designed a whole map and walking tour for everyone to come and see, and they've been working very hard on it. They've got a flock of sheep that they've raised, and we've got lots of information and facts about all the different aspects of things that we do. We will have a gift shop with products that we make from what we produce. And so, we've got chickens and sheep and the cows and the garden and everything. So there's a little bit of everything. It's, you know, a slight touch of everything.
So you have much more of a, like the homestead, a real traditional farm with a lot of things going on.
That's the avenue that we've pursued. It's a much better fit for my family with three small children and a husband that's away, and I've taken over everything. Like I said, I've added a little bit of everything.
So you see a traditional farm, go to Amy's, and she has wonderful meat, as I... My husband, we love that. Now, at the orchard, what do they see at your place, Michelle?
Marianne,
sorry. Michelle's on
the phone. That's okay. We're just, also just FYI, we're like, go to the Baldwin Junction South and then hold up the western end of this place over here. We have us, and iWig is up there not too far from us as well.
Great.
Just 30 minutes outside of town. And
that's a pretty drive that way,
it
too.
It is, so. Yeah. 13 miles on Highway 56 and a ride on Stubbs, you're right there. You'll come in, and we have a nice grassy paddock that you can park in, and someone will be there to direct you, and we'll have some live music going the whole time, all day long, which will be awesome, local music. And then you can do a tour that will be guided, or you can do a tasting. You know, how many people have tasted Roxbury Russets or Spitzenberg? So we'll have a whole tasting of all the different varieties of apples that are ready, and the Asian pears hopefully will still be hanging on then. And so the Korean Giants will have... pressing of cider, so you'll get to see how we do a real unique mix that makes it so awesome, because people love our cider. It's very different and very refreshing, not too sweet, as people say. It's just really great. So you'll have samplings of that. We're going to have some kids' games, sort of some fun, unique things that maybe you wouldn't have normally thought you'd do that are very apple orchard oriented. When we're going to be bobbing in the air for apples, so people don't have to get wet.
That sounds cool. All right.
That does.
And Michelle, at Holyfields, what are you guys going to be doing?
We're going to have walking vineyard tours and tours of the equipment in the cellar, the crusher and the press and things like that, and, of course, wine tasting.
So you still step on the grapes barefoot?
No, we have a crusher that does.
Oh, do you? Okay, good.
Not even for fun.
There's a lot of liability involved with that.
Whole sanitary conditions.
We only do that for photos. But there are a lot of, you know, things that you can see that involve the winemaking process. Our harvest season has ended. Lots of times our harvest has coincided with the farm tour, so there was actual hands-on things to, for people to see. But, you know, looking at the equipment will, you know. But a lot of people are surprised by how much is involved. Mm-hmm. And so it makes it interesting for people to see that, you know, our, we have 16 acres of wine grapes. They're right there. They come out of our vineyard. They go to our cellar. We make the wine, and then we sell it in our tasting room. So
that's great. That's wonderful. Well, we have, so if you want to get the farm tour, you can buy tickets at the Merck and some other places around town. But we also can go online at callvalleyfarmtour.org and find out all the different farms that are going to be on this tour.
And you can purchase the tickets online.
And you can purchase the tickets online, which is great. And you can also go to any of these farms if for some reason on October 6th you decide that you realize you don't have a ticket in your hand, and you can get one of these great, huge tickets that has all the different farms, a huge map, and really enjoy it and get out there. Take your kids out there, enjoy the farms, and see how the local businesses are working together and how the business of farming. Next week, we're going to have some people here from Parks and Rec, which is talking about all the stuff that they do for our community. And I just want to thank you guys so much here. We have Shannon from the Call Valley Farm Tour.
Thank you, Ann.
If people have any questions, I'm sure that they can call her there and find out anything more specific if anybody wants to talk to you. We also have Mary Ann Curtis from Fieldstone Orchard and Farm. Thank you. And we have Michelle from the Holyfield Vineyard and Winery. And Amy's Meats from Amy Saunders from Amy's Meats and Homestead. So thank you guys so much for being here. This is the Lawrence Business Magazine every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. here on KLWN, redefining the concept of business.